Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's episode of Let's Talk About. My name is Sedi Nam Togo Lamadeku. Let's Talk About is a midweek Christian talk show where we discuss everyday life issues that bother the everyday Christian. Today, we are discussing worship these days. Joining me as our members from the Trinity United Church Youth Fellowship and our assistant minister. From my left, we have Papa Kwame Rexford Radu. Welcome, Papa Kwame. And then we have Kelvin Hansen. You're welcome, Kelvin.
Thank you.
And then we have Reverend Samuel Asari Intrakong, our assistant minister. Papa, you're welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. You are reminded that we are streaming live on our social media platforms at Trinity United Church, both on Facebook and YouTube. You can send us your comments, questions, suggestions, and any other thing you might have. We are also live on WhatsApp on 0501-579-996. 0501-579-996. We'll delve right into the discussion. Papa, before that, we are discussing worship these days. And when we talk about worship, there's some sort of idea that we all have.
Yeah.
Before I ask you what you think worship is or what worship actually is, I'd like to ask my youth fellowship members. So we'll start with Papa Kwame. Give us an idea of what worship is to you.
Okay. To me, I feel worship is basically you just giving adoration to God and thanking Him for the numerous things He's done for you.
Okay. Giving God adoration and thanking Him. Okay, Kelvin, what do you think?
Well, I think worship is, as I agree with Papa, adoration for God, also reverence for His majesty and His glory. Like, worship is basically seeing God for who He is and being grateful for what He is to you.
Okay. Papa, how right are they?
Well, I'm not here to judge whether they are right or wrong. Because whatever perspective they give to it, for me, it will bring out the modern aspect of the concept. And so from their point of view, you realize that modernity may have defined worship in a certain way. So what I may be doing is to go back to scripture and to bring to base the connection between that time and today so that we know whether we have deviated or not. The word worship is from the word worth, worth and ship. And it's an old English root. And it goes back as far as the Old Testament days. So that, as I said, then there's some worthiness we may be looking out for, and that worthiness may be something that is imprinted in a certain body. And so there's an object of worship, and there is some worthiness that comes from it. Now, when we bring it to the Bible, then we are celebrating the worthiness of God. That God, you are worthy. God, you are sovereign. And we'll look at the sovereignty of God and the things that make God who He is. And then our response to that sovereignty becomes our worship. And so God has revealed Himself. And we can talk about the revelation of God in Jesus the Christ. Now, what is our response to that revelation? Becomes our worship. So then, if we are able to define worship in that way, then worship goes beyond adoration. If we are able to define worship in that way, then it goes beyond just praising God for who He is. Because then it becomes the whole of our lifestyle. And when we have met in church, our offering is a worship. Our scripture reading is a worship. And the entirety of our worship, even the entrance of the choir in procession, becomes our worship. So that everything is done meaningfully with God as one who had revealed Himself. And we are responding to that revelation.
Thank you very much, Papa. Yeah. I think you answered my second question in this one. How we give offering, how the choir processes, and all of that. We'll come to other styles, because in today's generation, when we think of worship, we only think of adoration, maybe singing and all of that. We'll delve more into it, but I want us to look at it from the human point of view. In terms of upbringing, do you think a person's upbringing plays a role in how they worship God? That is, in how they respond to His sovereignty. I'll let you take it first, and then my... people can.
I see. That is of a truth. Mm. Because you can't take environment out of our psychology.
Mm.
Uh-huh. But then when you put it also well, the accounts will say, Obinche
Akolenyame.
And so with the African mindset, we already have the concept of God with us. In fact, we believe that before even the white man came, we knew God.
Mm-hmm.
All the white man did was to direct us to Jesus. Because there were trees like Nyamibia and Co. before the white man came. So we had a certain concept of God, but perhaps where we were directing our worship. So worship is also part of our upbringing. How we revere our fathers will manifest in how we revere our Father God. If we feel that our fathers are not the good representation of fathers, then we are going to send them also in our worship. And I was just referring to someone. I was praying with a chief, and when the chief, when I said, Nana, let us pray, he took off the hat and said, let us pray. And it tells you from the olden days, their respect for God. So that even if it is their abosom they are going to, they take off their sandals. A certain reverence comes in. And if we are going to compare it to modernity, then we'll have a lot to say. Good.
Taking it from having a lot to say in modernity.
Yeah.
Kelvin and Papa Kwame, we are the new generation, the Gen Zs. Do you think our upbringing plays a role in how we worship God today? I'll start with Kelvin.
Yes, I think how we grew up or upbringing actually plays a serious role in how we worship God. Because that is your first interaction with God through your family or through your environment. You are born into, let's say, an Orthodox family. So you are used to going to church in a following a liturgical or a structured way of worship. So for you, worshiping God follows this pattern. You sing hymns, you do this, you do that. If you grew up in a charismatic family, that also determines how you worship God. But as you grow up over time, then you may have your own experiences that may change that. Most people may end up worshiping God based on how they learned to meet in university. Because that's the first time they left the environment, the true environment of their family and went to a foreign land to learn. So maybe they entered the youth fellowship, the Christian fellowship in the university ground, and how they worship becomes their type of worship. So yes, maybe as you start, your family will determine how you worship God. But as you grow up, life and experiences will then shape you from then on.
Papa, do you have anything to add?
I think they've said pretty much everything. All I would just like to add is, I think the environment also plays a factor because we all know God, but it's just left with the direction. You can't be worshiping God if you are not directed. Our God is a God of structure. Everything is in order. So you just need to follow that and everything is okay.
Our God is a God of structure indeed.
Yeah.
Papa, is there a right or wrong way to worship?
It depends. It depends on the one who is receiving the worship. Normally, the one who receives the worship may give us feedback as to whether our worship is the true worship that he wants, or we may be bringing in other things. But when you read Malachi, when you read Malachi well, you will see how the prophet prophesies about the offerings that they bring on God's altar. And then he brings in the priest and even mentions the priest that they are also culprits. And that's because they feel that on the altar of God, any animal can just be offered. They will even advise the people that this animal, we are only going to burn it. Bring us another one that is of lesser quality. Not knowing God had noticed it. So to God, it is actually the motive for our worship that counts. So that God looks at the heart with which we use to worship. Affirming what David will say, that God is not interested in burnt offering and co. I would have offered it in Psalm 55 and then 51 as well. And then the psalmist says that it is a broken heart and a contrite spirit that the Lord will not reject. So it tells you that the motive and the heart with which we worship God is as important to him than any other thing.
Okay. Yes. Papa, let me take you back to your point on the state of the heart in worship.
Yeah.
Is that all that matters? Is that all that matters in the sense that can you be doing anything? Can you be anybody indulging in all sorts of things? And then just saying, because God sees my heart, he will accept my worship. Is that all that matters?
In fact, the heart, I don't know how you may see it, but I think that you can't say your heart is worshiping God and your body is doing a different thing.
Right.
Uh-huh. The two must go together. And God is not a man that you can mock.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you can be mocking human beings and telling them that, oh, my heart seems to be doing that, but my body is doing the next thing. As for God, he sees it.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And there shouldn't be a difference between what your heart is doing
and what
your body is responding. Because, interestingly, what is in you is what will come out.
Yeah.
And you can't be faking worship all your life. Some people offered some fire before God, the sons of Aaron. Their fires were not the right one. And so God, instantly they died. Instantly before God, they died.
Thank you for the clarity.
Yeah.
Papa Kwame, Papa gave us deeper insight into, let me call them components of worship. Some of the things that can be categorized as worship from our usual singing and praising all the time. Do you think it influences our spiritual growth as individuals?
Yes. Let me give you a typical example.
Okay.
Let's say you have a car that you are always servicing, taking good care of it, making sure everything is right with it. And you have God, but you are not serving him. I mean, spiritually, you are not growing. You are also not allowing us to see the type of person you are. I don't know if you get me.
Oh, take us. We'll get
you. Yeah. So, I mean, you'd have to let us see a part of your life. I mean, you have to show us that you are serving God, not just by word of mouth, but by your actions. That could be from your praises and worship to God.
Okay.
That is my.
So those things build your spiritual life.
Of course.
Kelvin.
Yes, I agree. You know, Romans 12:1 says you have to present yourself as a living sacrifice to God. So what they're saying that the first worship is yourself. Who you, how you set yourself apart, consecrate yourself for him. That's your first form of worship. If you have then decided that, okay, I'm going to worship God and I'm going to set myself apart for him, then other things will follow. You then be intentional about reading the word of God. Because what if you set yourself apart for something, you are not intentional about trying to do that. You now read the word of God. You now pray more often. You now meditate. You now participate in church. You try to serve in God's vineyard. What about capacity in the church? All these little things are like building a house. Little by little, it grows, it becomes big. So your worship, both intentionally in church and sometimes unintentionally, all build up your spiritual life. You may be walking and let's meditate on the verse throughout the day. That meditation may give a revelation that may move you to the next level of your life. The Bible says God, you must worship God in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. You must worship him in truth. That means there's a way to do it. It's fundamental that if I worship him, God, there must be a spirit component to it. And there must be truth to it. The truth is the word of God. That's your guide. And him being a spirit, you also activate your spirit or use the word of God to energize your spirit through prayer and all those things to help you connect with him more. So that's why.
Okay, thank you. Papa, you're not only a reverend minister, you're older than us, fortunately. So I would like us to look at it from the viewpoint of tradition. Are there any influences? Do you think tradition influences our worship style or has influenced over time?
Of course, because when you trace those of us from the primal religions, when I talk about primal religions, religions that are native to us, those that we started with. If you have lived in a shrine area before, or you have a place where they revere lesser gods, they have a way they worship. They have a way they reverence their God. I just mentioned how they take off their sandals and how they will bow in obeisance to their God and the reference and the names that they will call that lesser God. When we transition into Christianity, it influences us, but it influences us positively. And that is why our understanding of God may be far different from what the white man sees as God. The white man, though, presented God to us in a certain way, but our understanding is much deeper. because the African is spiritual from childbirth, we are introduced to the spirit world, where you think that there's a certain sunsun we are. Certain sunsun we are, so you don't just talk. Mm. When you talk, you reference to another power somewhere that may be. So there's that God consciousness in us. And when we transition into Christianity, when we use it positively, our worship is influenced well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is why our worship may have taken a certain section different from that of the white man.
Right.
We may be singing their hymns. Mm. We may be worshiping as Westerners may worship.
Mm.
But when you come inside it, you see that Africans are really worshiping.
Yeah.
And that our primary aspect of religion has actually influenced our transition into Christianity.
Great. Linking my next question to Papa's point on how tradition has influenced, you know, worship these days. Do you agree that your worship style shows your beliefs? Do you agree?
Oh, yes, I think it does.
Your beliefs, your personal values.
Okay,
do you think it does. There's any influence or link of any sort?
I think it does. Because let's assume you were an idol worshiper.
Mm-hmm.
You were maybe very active in that idol worship.
Mm.
You understood the power of an idol.
Mm.
And then maybe you met an evangelist that showed you God.
Mm.
And then you come to understand that the ultimate power is God.
Mm.
You now realize, okay, now I've met a superpower greater than what I knew.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to even do more for that power than I used to before.
Mm-hmm.
Because I now have understanding of what a lesser God can do. So right. How much more the King of Kings and Lord of Kings.
Yes. Right.
So how you approach God comes from where you come from or what you believe.
Mm.
Most people, if you grew up in a very, very normal urban environment, God is just somebody you go to on Sunday. For most people.
Mm.
But for some who has actually experienced what it is to live in the spiritual world or who knows what the spirit means, can actually appreciate more what it means to actually be the God of gods.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who is more powerful than every other God he knows.
Mm-hmm.
So for him, he will not just worship God casually, but I'll be very intentional about it. That
right.
I know what this God can do. He may even believe more the stories of the Bible than the person who knows theology.
Yeah.
God's split the Red Sea. Well, I've seen a God raise a dead body or do something before.
Mm.
What can the true King of Kings do?
Right.
So depending on where he comes from, it may influence how deeply or how much he worships the King of Kings. Yes.
Thank you, Papa Kwame. Put your thoughts together. I'll come back to you. Right. Viewers are reminded that we are live on our Facebook and YouTube channels at Trinity United Church, Legon. You can also send us your comments and your questions on our WhatsApp number at 0501-579-996. 0501-579-996. Papa Kwame, add something to what Kelvin said.
I wish I could, but I mean...
Okay, we'll come back to you.
So as Papa Kwame may be thinking about, let me also add the negative side.
Okay.
The negative side may be how we respond to prayers when they are being said. You see that the African in foreign libation may be foreign, is a real, an anomaly. And so that is how we have also transitioned into prayers.
Mm.
So that at every point of our prayer, we want to say Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen. And it tells you that there are certain traditional things we have carried into the faith. Even our prayers where in libation pouring, we tend to curse our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
We have also brought them into Christianity. And so when we are praying and you don't say that let us curse our enemies, our prayers are done. But when we say hey, there are certain witches and witches somewhere, in the name of Jesus, let us fire them, you will see.
Yeah.
Then our clapping and everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you that although we have transitioned into Christianity, we still have those traditional things with us. Where we believe there are certain malevolent spirits that are always working against us and changing destinies.
Mm.
So when we are praying, we say, God, anybody who changes my want to change my destiny in the name of Jesus. So it tells you that we still believe that there are certain powers in the air and I think it is something we do consciously and unconsciously.
Mm.
And we have not come to grasp with scripture that says that he that is in us
is greater than
he that is in the world.
Right.
And we have those things that still battles with us. I pray that by the time we are able to separate them, we'll get there. May the Lord help us.
Amen. Papa, should I stay with Senior Papa?
Yes, I said okay on that.
Papa, I want to continue. I want you to continue from where you started.
Yeah.
Now, we are the younger generation.
Yes.
It's quite unfortunate.
Yeah.
But we are the younger generation. What is the trend you have noticed? Is it different now than it was in your time? Mm-hmm. What are some of the differences you have noticed as someone who is older, mm-hmm. someone who has seen it done a particular way before? Because if we want to be honest, the style has changed.
Yeah.
How we do Christianity now has changed as young people.
Yeah.
So if you can give us some of the pointers, let us know, if you like, which of them you may classify as negative, which of them you actually find innovative. Then we'll pick the discussion from there.
Okay, thank you. How old am I to go into the past? But at least from Sunday school days, I saw my fathers and how they worship. They understood worship in a holistic way, as I mentioned earlier. That to them, praises and adoration was not it. Because those days, even the typical Methodist church, who will lead adoration? Our focus is that the whole of the service, we are adoring God. Our offering that we put into the bowl, even our demeanor in worship, how we sit. So that in the only if you sit and you cross your leg, you are told to sit well. You can't sit before God that way.
So I have to sit well?
Oh, no, you're not. You see that some will sit and do this.
Oh, okay.
It is a way that they felt that you are not reverencing God and perhaps the presence of God.
Right.
So from the start of worship, and they saw it that even worship is beyond the church room. It goes as far to their workplace. So they owe it a duty to worship God in their workplace by ensuring that the people around them do what is right. And that holistic worship actually affected communities and the society as a whole. So he's a teacher. He thinks that as part of his worship, he should check assignment, make sure that though you are not the son or the daughter, but you have done what you are to do. And disciplining you was part of his worship. So community, there was that communal life, and everybody saw that he had a responsibility towards the other person. But today it is not like that. Today our worship is limited to church. And then we are more dramatic in our worship, which is good. Which is good. It's dramatic. We are dramatic because for us, we tend to put the works of the Holy Spirit in a certain way. And we classify worship in that. So we are more dramatic today. We are more expressive in our worship. And you want the next person to know you are speaking in tongues. And you want the next person to know that you have power to pray. So we are so expressive in worship, which is good. The only danger is that we have limited worship to adoration. So that in our churches, some people will even say that it's only adoration that is worship, which is not so. Everything we do in the presence of God is so important, and it forms part of our worship. In other words, I'm simply saying, for us today, our reverence for God is in a certain way limited. And that we tend to put God in the church alone, where when we come, then we will see ourselves in the longer dresses. When we come, then we will be pious in a certain way, but not take it outside the church
building. Okay. Papa, I'll come back to you so that you give us some of the reasons why you think our reverence to God is limited. Because I agree with you on many fronts. But I'll come back. The show is not mine. I'll go to my panelists. I'll be back. Kelvin, do you agree with Papa's submissions on how different it is? I'm not asking you to compare the olden times to now necessarily, but you've grown to, you've been in Sunday school, you've seen your parents who are Christians, you know, do the whole worship thing, and now how you do it, how your peers do it. Do you agree with Papa's submissions?
Oh, yes, I think so. Now, I think for the youth, worship is more experiential. They want to experience something. And it's always, because of that mentality, it's always a segmentation in how they worship God. When they come to church, they want to feel it. Feel something. If they don't feel it, then they didn't worship God well enough.
They don't feel the vibe.
You have to feel the vibe, to feel the spirit.
Feel the vibe.
There's a lot of feelings involved. when they go to work, then it's a they are a different person.
Right.
It's work time. Let me just be serious.
Right.
Go to school, yes. And that that creates a divided lifestyle over time, unconsciously. Because you come to church, oh, when it's church time, oh, I'm going to be serious, I'm going to worship God. Let's say end at 10 p.m. You go and sleep, then that's it. See, but worship is a lifestyle, as Papa is saying. Your whole life is worship.
Mm.
And over time, due to all this, these feelings and, how do I say, imports, it has affected how people worship God.
Mm.
That's why people can boldly say, it's time for work, so let's forget about this God thing.
Mm.
It's time for this. People say this boldly. Yeah, these are Christians, do. Yes.
Right.
But it's not as if they're intentional about it. It has become part of their lifestyle.
Mm.
We are looking for money. So what do you do? They just put God aside. Let's go and make the money. Then we'll pay our tithes. Who's God be happy for our tithes? People say this all the time. But the important thing is that God is also cares about that money. Where your money comes from. How you got the money. It's not about our Sunday. He said God, we have to worship God in his presence. God is omnipresent. That means everywhere God is there. That means you must worship him everywhere. What you do in your private room is the same as what you should do in your public.
In public, right.
You should not be, there should not be any distinction.
Mm.
The only time people say, oh, he's different at home. She's different at work. God is looking at you like you're two-faced. God says, if you're hot and cold, I'll spew you out. So, unfortunately, now, because of these things, Christians have become very, very two-faced in a way. And that, I don't think that is very good right now. But if they are conscious about it, they probably become more holistic Christians in their worship.
Thank you so much. Submission. Papa, come, anything to add?
I mean, I think I want to give him a warning.
Oh, wow.
It seems like he's taking everything from my mind.
You're trying to play smart. We don't know that thing.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
I mean, so I think
you agree.
I'm giving him a caution. Next time, I think I'll steal the spotlight.
So I'll ask you first. Now you're in trouble.
If I'm ready, don't
you know. Papa.
Yes.
So why do you think our reverence for God has limited? I agree with you when you say that the atmosphere for community and fellowship has dwindled.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I may be an old lady in a young person's body, but I agree so much.
Yes.
So please tell us why you think something like this is happening amongst us.
You see cultural dynamics come to play.
Mm.
Because you can't take culture out of our worship. So that if culture then begins to make us feel that we are equals, the elderly person, after all, he's working, I'm also working. He's out there married, I'm also preparing to marry. He is thinking about the future, I also have future dreams. When we begin to put people on equal platforms and classify society as all one, after all, it's about how you make it, it's the end that justifies the means. If I'm young and today I get 3 cars, I'm better than you, an old person, it doesn't matter your age. After all, gray hair is. And we begin to think that way. It enters into our worship and our reverence for God also becomes affected. But when we begin to respect the elderly, revere gray hair, respect old age, and submission, and feel that it's not always about the end. It's not always about the end, but the means to the end also matters.
Right.
So that we know that even as far as you live, depends on how you obey your parents. And those were the things we were told during our day. So that today, if I even meet my class one teacher, I met her recently, and I was still afraid to greet her. My class one madam. It tells you what they placed in us. Going close to your teacher, you have some reverence. But today, it doesn't. They don't care even putting their hand around you and making fun of you. And it tells you that the respect is not there, and it has transitioned into our faith. So I think that we may have to get our culture dynamics right. And not always refer to Western values. The more we are referred to Western values, we have also lost sight of our own values. Our values are the best. If you read the Old Testament, you see that a lot of the portions of the Old Testament are African in nature. They are reference for their fathers, a reference for that their father's blessing matters, so that Isaac will pray for Jacob and Esau, mm-hmm. and Esau will cry because the father had given the blessing. It tells you that they had a certain African orientation,
okay.
which we used to have. But today we are overtaken from the West.
It is sad.
Affecting us.
Yes, it is. We'll come back to the discussion. This is Let's Talk About. We've been discussing worship these days. We have some youth fellowship members from the Trinity United Church Legon, and we have our assistant minister, Reverend Samuel Asare Intra-Akun. A reminder that we are streaming live on Facebook and YouTube. We'd like you to send in your comments and questions to our WhatsApp number as well on 0501-579-996. We'll take an icebreaker. We'll be right back. Please stay.
With the growing challenges of life in light of both global and domestic developments, the Christian is faced with the difficult task of balancing survival within a secular system and at the same time living a Christian life that pleases their Maker. It is for this reason that we need to have frank conversations on the many issues of life through the Christian lens. So, we bring to you Let's Talk About. On Let's Talk About, we talk about health, career, dating, marriage, family, divorce, politics, finance, and all the issues of life that the Christian is confronted with on a daily basis. Join us this and every Wednesday on the YouTube and Facebook pages of Trinity United Church Legon, and let's talk about life as Christians. With the growing challenges of life in light of both global and domestic developments, the Christian is faced with the difficult task of balancing survival within a secular system and at the same time living a Christian life that pleases their Maker. It is for this reason that we need to have frank conversations on the many issues of life through the Christian lens. So, we bring to you Let's Talk About. On Let's Talk About, we talk about health, career, dating, marriage, family, divorce, politics, finance, and all the issues of life that the Christian is confronted with on a daily basis. Join us this and every Wednesday on the YouTube and Facebook pages of Trinity United Church Legon, and let's talk about life as Christians.
Hello and welcome back. This is Let's Talk About. We've been discussing worship these days. I have with me Papa Kwame, Kelvin, and Reverend Samuel Asare Intra-Akun. We have some comments, but before we go into the comments, we'd like to remind you that we are live on Facebook and YouTube. Please leave us comments and questions. We'd appreciate them. Also, you can send them to our WhatsApp number 0501-579-996. Our first comment is from our minister in charge, Reverend Dr. Martin Eduobing. He says, our motives and emotions in worship are important, and one needs to worship in spirit and in truth. Thank you so much, Papa. Do we agree? We cannot disagree.
that is the truth.
Yes,
and I think he has nailed it.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. Because you wonder how God will reject mm-hmm. the offering of Cain mm-hmm. and accept the offering of Abel. Now, yes. I have heard some Sunday school teachers say that because this one brought small yam. But you see that it's all about motives, which only God can see.
Mm.
And it's not in scripture for us to describe
mm.
because God sees the unseen.
Mm.
And that is why we have to be careful what worship we render to Him.
Yes.
That day there will be surprises in heaven.
Mm.
There will be surprises in heaven. For God will be judging us by our motives
as well, and emotions. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Papa. We have another comment by Chris Eduama. He says, right, Osofo, we can even be deceiving our own selves, mm-hmm. but cannot hide anything from God.
Yes,
I think that is what you have rightly mentioned. Yeah. Papa, you mentioned Sunday school.
Yes.
And then a question dropped in my mind.
Yes.
So, as little children, our parents can only do much. Mm. Morning devotion or evening devotion at home, teaching us to read the Bible and pray. We do some at school.
Yeah.
But Sunday school, I would say, is the main place we get the foundation in, you know, Christian principles and how we eventually, who we eventually become as adult Christians.
Yes. Mm.
Who is checking Sunday school? Is Sunday school being checked? Are they teaching us the right forms and styles of worship? You know, like someone telling someone, if there's more yams, that didn't make someone sacrifice accepted. So who is checking?
Excellent. For TUC, we are blessed.
Mm.
Uh-huh. When you take most of our churches, we have not taken the Sunday school business seriously.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, not only Sunday school, the youth ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't taken it seriously.
Mm.
We have always focused on the adult congregation. And it tells you even the way we have packaged our worship.
Mm.
But TUC, we are doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
Some ministers are assigned to Sunday school to check their instructional materials.
Okay.
I'm also aware of some workshops that they organize
for the
teachers.
Right.
And we are aware of the materials that they give to them.
Mm.
I'm aware at first they used to use the Methodist Bible study lesson for them.
Okay.
So they have a book that each year they are studying.
Mm.
And that is important because I could recall that the number of hymns I'm able to mention their numbers, I learned them from Sunday school.
Mm.
In those days, you have to memorize the hymns and memorize scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
I remember how we were made to memorize the Beatitudes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that one because of how long it was and all the verses. You may have to say it, and if you get it wrong, that day you won't take toffee
home
or chocolate home.
Okay.
And it became a part of us.
Okay.
So some of the things I cite as Osofo are things that I learned from
Sunday school.
Right. They have been with us today.
So there must be a conscious effort to get it right
at that foundational level.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
The transition.
Okay. We have a very...
Something little, but I think with every building, I mean, the foundation is the most important part of the building.
Right.
You get the foundation right, and
you're most likely to get the building right.
So I think the foundation is very critical.
Okay, that is to agree with Papa also.
Papa, yes,
thank you. He took us to engineering or architecture. We'll take it. We have a very interesting question. George Shumesi Edu says, interesting discussions. My question is, how come the youth seem to need heavy sound and colored lights to worship? Okay, so they used to take this one. They will go to Papa because he's not in our generation.
Yes.
Kelvin, why do you need heavy sound and colored lights to worship? Why do you need those vibes?
Oh, I don't need those things. But why do most youth need those things? Or most youth Christian programs have those things? It's because they have found out that actually stimulates your mind in a certain way.
Mm.
You know, you are a human being. Lights have affect how you behave.
Mm.
If you're in a dark room, you become dull. There's much light, you become bright. When you go to any show, Christian or secular, there's a lot of lights and there's a lot of sound. From the world, we've learned that when you do that, people are more excited.
Right.
So in a certain way, as I said, they just imported this unconsciously. Forgetting that it's not about those things. As I said, when you come looking for an experience, then sometimes there's pressure on the organizers to do something that will create the experience for people.
Right.
So you start asking yourself, what do I know works? Okay, these people, when they go to rock shows, this is what they do. Let's try that and see. And it works. It's not necessary that that's what to make the Holy Spirit come. The Holy Spirit doesn't really care about those things. He cares about your heart. But the problem is that because we have tried, we are learning from the world too much. Sometimes learn a little bit too much, and that becomes part of your worship, becomes part of your lifestyle. Then you think it's normal, but it's not normal.
No.
Because people are worshiping God for so many centuries. In those times when they were going to the tabernacle, I'm not sure it was
colored light.
It was beautiful inside, yes, but there was no light show.
Maybe that was their version of colored light.
Yes, it was beautiful. No? You need a beautiful environment to be worship God.
Right.
Europe has a lot of cathedrals. Mm. Very beautiful. They are adding a certain way to create a certain sound.
Mm.
That's what helps you with the worship. But that's not the worship.
Okay.
The worship is your heart and your intention before God.
Mm-hmm.
So if your heart and intention is right before God, it's okay. That's why you can worship in your room with no light shoe.
Mm.
You can lock yourself in the closet and worship God happily. Most people experience God in their private.
Yeah.
The private part of their lives.
Mm.
There's nothing over there. Nobody is seeing you.
Mm.
But then you come and say, "Well, I had a vision about with God. I had this experience."
Mm.
There was no simulation there, but you and God, and you were ready to meet God.
Mm.
So you met God.
Okay.
So those things help, but they are not necessary. That's what I say. Okay.
Papa Kwame, do you agree with Uncle George? Do we need?
Yes.
Heavy life?
To give the teenage side of this, I think it boils down to two things.
Mm.
That is peers and the social media.
Because
why would you want to pray and thank God for everything, but you want everyone to see you? You want to put it out there that, yes, I'm also doing some.
Mm.
They've done some, I'm also doing some. You want to impress your friends. I mean, that's not the point.
Mm.
That's not why we are serving God. We are serving God because you want to and you know what He has done for you. So why then rely on the heavy lights and sounds and everything? I mean, to me, it's just pressure, peer pressure, social media
pressure.
Papa, is it wrong though? Is it wrong to need?
Oh, it is not wrong at all. And I tend to disagree.
Yes.
Because you see, from the days of traditional worship, where we had only Presby, Methodist, and Co., the keyboard or the piano was just okay. And you hardly even see drumming. But from the advent of Pentecostalism, and we can't take Pentecostalism from Africa, but the Pentecostal phase of religion is actually defined in Africa. So that when we talk about Pentecostalism today, they refer to Africa, Asia, and Co. You can't take it away that today the dominant religion and the dominant form of worship is Pentecostal worship. And Pentecostal worship is a type of worship that goes with those items. You can't worship in a Pentecostal way without light. You can't worship in a Pentecostal way without good music and good sound. Because just as I said, it is expressive, it is emotional, it is energetic.
Yes.
You have to be involved. In fact, you have to feel the sound in you. That is a Pentecostal way of worship. So that even there are times that Papa will tell them that bring the sound that you, that the young people, they don't feel it. They don't feel it. Even if you compare today, how seminarians pray today, to those days when we were students, when we used to pray here, you can't shout. Because you'll be called in a lecturer's house. Today, when you hear them worship, I say, hey, Pentecostal worship. It has taken over even the seminarians who are going to be Presby ministers and Methodist ministers. And it tells you that is the face of religion today. So today, if you say, I won't go for good sound, you'll be behind as a church. If you say, I won't go for good light, you'll be behind. Because they see auditoriums. And those days, chapels were chapels.
Yeah.
But now we call chapels auditoriums, which means that there are certain theatric performance
going on there.
Yeah, where we think that we have come to the stage to perform. So you will see that even the singer calls himself minister, so and so. So a performance stage, a certain stage craft is even in our worship. And that's a Pentecostal style. You can't take it away from our worship. It's the dominant form of worship today.
If it makes it better.
And I think it has made our religion more vibrant.
Interesting.
It has also brought in some technology that has made us to reach the world in a short way. It has also opened our eyes to what is happening in the Western world. It has also helped us to see that God also can take the best. So I don't see it so negative.
I agree with you.
It's only when we overstretch it with the excesses that the negative comes.
To watch.
Yeah, and that's why I agree with Papa. There sometimes you may lose the sight of the the worship. It's very necessary to actually I'm a chorister, so I like good sound. So I need a good speaker, a good keyboard to hear. So it's very good to have good musical, but if you are not the intention is not for God. That's the problem we have nowadays. People are missing the point.
Yeah, if it's taking us away from God.
You're missing the, you're looking at the icing instead of the cake. The cake is the most important thing. The icing helps, but it's the cake that counts. So if the cake is still important to you, then the icing is hallelujah. You can add as much icing as you want. But you have to make sure that the cake is right. Yeah, that's your worship.
I was going to say, isn't it interesting that we, the young people, are saying it's not right? And then Papa, the older youth, rather, is saying it's right. But it did some damage control, so that's fine. We have another question from Eli Plim Jikunu. She says, what exactly does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? And how can we teach or guide our children to worship in spirit and truth? Because we've been using the phrase a lot. We've been quoting the verse a lot. Papa, take us first, and then I'll come to Papa Kwame and then Kelvin.
Yeah, it is a test in John 4. And the John 4 discourse is a heavy discourse. But I am surprised at the woman who came to Jesus. And how knowledgeable that woman was. She was not an ordinary woman. Though in scripture we may have looked at her in a different way. Because her discourse with Jesus, and even attributing to a place of worship to Jesus and say, you Jews, say that we should worship on that mountain. And then Jesus says, it's not about place of worship. So I think where we must start the discourse on spirit and truth worship is that it is not about place of worship. Number two, it is not about time of worship. And number three, it is actually about what God wants us to do in worship. And that is the focus. God will want our worship to be spiritual. God will want our worship not to be hypocritical. That's the truth aspect. Not to be hypocritical. So that what we say is what we mean. Spiritual in the sense that it follows the details that God wants us to follow. Because the Holy Spirit will lead us. And then truthful in the sense that it is not hypocritical. And that exactly it is an expression of our response to God. And we are not saying hallelujah, hallelujah to God, and our heart is somewhere else. We are not saying amen, amen, as Jesus says. Not everyone who will say amen, amen, or Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But this case, we are saying Lord, Lord, and we mean it. God knows our heart that we are truthful in our worship. Now, response of Lord, Lord is coming from the Holy Spirit, who is at the center of worship. Because remember, in the olden days, Moses worshipped in Exodus 15. Daniel will worship when he came out of the lion's den. Even Nebuchadnezzar will worship. But you see that all their worship, somebody takes the center stage, a human being. Take the center stage. But when you enter the New Testament, there is no worship leader. The worship leader is the Holy Spirit, who takes after Pentecost and directs the affairs of worship. That's what Jesus means. Worship must be truthful, and it must be Holy Spirit led. It must not be hypocritical. It must follow the dictates of the Spirit of God.
Thank you. I don't think I'll ask Kelvin or Papa Kwame anything. I don't want them to dilute Papa's submission.
Oh, they have a point.
Eli, we hope your question has been answered. Now to my young people, let's talk about social media and technology, and then the influence on our worship styles these days. Papa Kwame, give us some insight. Do you think social media influences or has influenced how we worship nowadays?
Yes, I think social media plays a very crucial part in our, let me say, spiritual life. Because, I mean, you can't always be at home and just be idle. I mean, you can just be there and take your phone, listen to gospel, and you are carried by the Spirit and you just listen to prayers. It could even be a referral from a video you saw on TikTok, Instagram, and like, hey, this song sounds amazing, let me check it out. Then from there you could just burst out into prayers. So I think social media has its positives and negatives.
So give us some of the negatives, maybe one.
Negatives: people are using it for fraudulent activities. I mean, a friend of mine was frauded by someone impersonating a reverend minister. So I think we also need to be alert on that side.
Yes.
Why was he transacting money monetary business? No, don't explain. It's fine. I'm just asking. What does the minister have to do with anything? But it's fine. Kelvin, give us some of the negatives and positives.
Okay, I think everything affects your worship. Because your life is your worship. So social media does affect your worship. Now, for me personally, one thing I'll say is that social media has allowed me to learn more about God I probably didn't know.
Right.
So most of the time, unless you go for Bible study or go to Sunday, you don't know, read anything about you don't know anything about the word of God unless you ask somebody. I can pick my phone right now and learn so much about God. Just pick my phone, pick any pastor I know and just look at pick a topic. He has already spoken about it. Apostle Selman and the many apostles that are coming up. They will teach you so much in a short period of time. You don't have to meet them. But you actually learn a lot from them. The second thing is that sometimes I keep wondering how they used to worship or sing to God for that long. Because now, when you have your phone, the phone can play music for 10 hours. You can't sing for 10 hours. But somehow you hear Paul was in prison and singing. I was like, how long did they do that? But these things actually help you to do that. When you want to do an all-night service alone or something like that, or you just want to, let's say, pray for about an hour. It's very difficult to pray for 1 hour, even if I pray in tongues. But if you have your phone with you, playing some background music, playing some worship songs, it helps you prepare for what you're doing or helps you what you're doing. So social media does help so much. The bad thing is that the way somebody can put truth, somebody can also put lies in there. Now, the point is that the Bible says that wolves in sheep's clothing. That means they look like sheep. It may sound like truth, but it's deception. If you do, you're not sure, or you haven't confirmed it, you may think it's true. Very few, many people have been deceived by what they've seen on social media because it sounds true. You go on WhatsApp status every day, every morning. The first person will post a Bible verse, the next person will post wisdom. If you compare the two, the wisdom sounds very nice. Many people are not my new, like, they start, you know, those kind of self-motivational things, right? But that's not the word of God. The word of God is not supposed to make you see people as enemies. A lot of people post this kind of things and it makes them feel good. Because it feels good, people accept it. But it's deception from hell. The word of God is saying that if you have an enemy, pray for them. Seek peace, not violence. But the modern idea is that fight everybody, forget the world. You know, that kind of those kind of behaviors. So unless you are grounded in truth, in the word of God, it's very easy to be deceived by these things. But over time, God willing, you learn. You grow, yes. So social media is both positive and negative, but by the Holy Spirit's help, you actually find the right way and go.
So stand your ground.
Yeah.
Know yourself. Exactly. Know the word and confirm before you take some of these things. Okay, Papa, I'll come to you.
Yeah.
So you speak to the social media and worship argument. But we have a comment from Chris Edwema. He says, "I agree with Reverend Intraku. I want to stress the point made that we do not let the gadgets take away from our worship. They should enhance the worship rather than replace or dominate it." I think we agree with that.
Yeah,
that is the truth.
Papa, now let's speak to the social media bit of the whole thing. Just like we agreed that the lights and the sound make it better. Do you agree that social media sort of makes it better to worship?
Of course. Of course, because when you... I remember then as a student of Metal University, when I was studying the second degree, I'll get down a circle, and all that I go to do when I'm going back to some is to go and buy CDs of Duncan Williams, CDs of Oyedepo, and CDs of Eastwood, Ann Arbor, and Co. to go and listen to them. Because you can't get them anywhere unless you buy their CDs. I don't know what has happened to my CDs today. Now you don't have to go and buy all those things. On your phone, quickly you type and whatever sermon you may want to listen to or with that preacher, you will find it easily on the social media and it makes it more accessible. So I think social media has helped in enhancing our worship. We have also seen how worship, I have always said, Nigerian worshippers seem to be worshipping better than us. They tend to be having their lyrics and the scripture. You listen to our gospels, at times you are amazed. Some of the things that we call gospel. And the wording thereof tells you that it is not death in nature. So it has opened us to the global world where we are able to listen to other sermons and compare.
And for me as a minister, it is critical. Because then when I stand before my members, they can easily go through my message. And so I have to study. I have to be prayerful. I have to wait on the Lord and receive to be able to share. So that my members will not say, Osofu took it from here. Osofu, and that is a lot of work for me. For the worshippers also, it is enlightening them. If only we are getting the right stuff on social media, then they are going to eat more and become more spiritual. The danger rather may be how they are not able to decipher between what is right and what is wrong. And that is where I think we may have to be careful. Some of the sermons out there, recently I was listening to some of the renowned preachers, they mentioned their name, I don't want to mention their name, who were saying that the teachings of Paul were not right.
Really?
Yes. And said a whole lot of things. So I posted it on my Facebook wall. That it is not so. And that those preachers may have to go back to their Bible and read well. Very renowned preachers. And they were criticizing the teachings of Paul. And you see that the young man who believes in such a preacher and thinks that he's an icon quickly picks it and starts preaching it everywhere. And that is why I think that even as social media has helped, we should also know our scriptures well. So that we are able to know which one is a good stuff, which one is not. And let me also admonish us as young people that let us also put our minister sermons out there. We have after Sunday service, and you see that the minister in charge or any other we had invited preach so well and the sermon is that good, put it out there. So the world will also hear and be blessed. But you see on our statuses, I don't want to mention Alpha so-so and so. It tells you that we are rather advertising the other people's sermons and other things. That may not be, be as concrete as it should be. Because no doubt, there's no doubt about the sermons we hear in Trinity. They are the best.
They are the best. Who disagrees?
No one.
No one would dare. So we have a question, Papa, a very interesting one.
Yes.
And for security's sake, I'll let we, the young people, take it. Okay. I'll let you take it.
Okay.
Daniel says, how do we correct people who worship for fame?
For fame?
Yes.
How do you know they are worshiping for
good
fame?
Question. It's why none of us will take it.
Yeah. How do we correct them? Okay, I think that I will even pick it away from correction. I will help us to be praying for them. Because it goes back to MHB 99. And MHB 99, let me cite a portion of it that I have always been citing because I feel that it is what we need. MHB 99, the fifth stanza says, weak is the effort of my heart and cold my warmest thoughts. But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. And so, Osi, me mwazembo oye emreo. Indeed, those people who may be worshipping for popularity, maybe they have not known the God they are worshipping. So you may have to bear them up in prayer and ask the Lord to reveal himself to them. Because you see, worship is more of revelation. The more we know God, the better our response to him. Yes.
Thank you. Final words, people. Kelvin. Put your thoughts together. Come to you.
Yes, so I think it's been well established about what true worship is, which is basically from the heart. As you said, if the foundation is right, everything will be right. So it's very important for us, both old and young, to always make sure that our heart is right with God. If that is right, everything will flow from it. The songs you sing, the way you behave, in both in church and at work, the way you interact with people, the way you interact with God, everything will flow through that. And the Holy Spirit likes what a clean temple to dwell in. So if you are clean, he will dwell in you. And the Bible says he will teach you all things. So if there's a way you should do something for that will please God, he will teach you. And then you can follow from there on. Yeah.
Thank you. Papa Kwame.
I think this time I'm prepared for him. So just something small. I think we should serve God with our hearts and we'll be all right.
Mm. If you serve God with our hearts and we'll be all right. Thank you.
Will be okay.
Papa, final words.
Yes, three things I want to stress before we go.
Okay.
The first one is that worship is holistic,
mm-hmm.
which we have gotten to know. The second most important is that the Holy Spirit takes the center stage in our worship today. Unlike even the olden days, the Holy Spirit was there. But in the after Pentecost, he takes the center stage. And then the final one is that we cannot disconnect worship from stewardship. And just as Papa preached in a sermon at a wedding, that we are not on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And once we are not on our own, then every aspect of us must be a worship to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that concept, we may have to drum it home very well so that people get to understand we are not on our own. Even if I get money in my pocket, it is not mine.
Mm-mm.
I am just a steward. If I have good health, it's only God who has given that life to me. And it comes to what I want to cite Francis Ridley says in MHB 400, where he gives us the holistic aspect of worship. Take my life and let it be. At a point, he says, take my hands and let them move. So if I have health, why not use my hands to serve the Lord? Then he says, take my feet. So if I can run to Mempasem and tell somebody about Christ, I have to go.
Do it, right.
And then he says, take my voice. If I could sing, why should I say I won't join the choir? I have to join Genia
Youth Choir
or all the singing groups that I can, one voice and call. If I take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. So if I wake up and I'm able to speak, I don't speak about God. Then he says, take my silver and my gold. Not a mind would I withhold. If I'm able to go to school, he says, take my intellect and use every path thou shalt choose. Then he says, take my will and make it thine. It shall no longer be mine. Take my heart. It is thy own. It shall be thy royal throne. Then he ends by saying, take my love, my Lord, I pour. And I feed this treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. So all of our lives must be in unison to that worship. Prostrating ourselves before him. Say, hey, Razidia. Oh, Mr. Mahuazin, Misika, Megrite, Minyansa, Niamenya, Niamedin, with the sorrow I could see. Amen.
Amen. I wanted to say what I learned, but it's okay. It's fine. Papa has said it all. Thank you so much.
Thank you too.
We'd like to say thank you to our viewers too. This is where we draw the curtains to a close. This has been Let's Talk About. I've been here with Papa Kwame Redu, Kelvin Hansen, and Reverend Samuel Asari Ntwako. We have been discussing the topic worship these days. We'll see you same time next week on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Good night.